Craig, do you have any fears? Are you fearful? Like, are you scared of heights or anything like that?
No, my fear is public speaking.
Yeah, right. Seriously? Yeah.
Listen, heights. I'm not big on heights. I mean, I hike and I go up and everything, but like, I'm not big on heights. I'm not,
no, so,
it's not something that I'm signing up for. So what you and Jason Strudwick are doing, I think it's admirable, and you know, great respect. And really, obviously, the biggest thing is what you're doing it for, which I think is significant. And I think given the proper, you know, really boost in my confidence, that I would be happy to do somewhere similar. But it wouldn't be something that I would sign up to just go do on my own.
Okay. So you've never skydived or bungee jumped or anything like that?
No.
Oh, you know, buddy, I went skydiving. I'm telling you, Craig. I went with a lady. It was her 80th birthday. It was, and we jumped from 10,000 feet. Well, not her and I together. Obviously, we jumped separate. But it was one of the greatest thrills. You free fall for 50-plus seconds. It's unbelievable. It's nerve-wracking when you have to jump out of the plane. But I'm telling you, for those 50 seconds, it's one of the most invigorating things you could ever do.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take your word for it.
Oh, man. Oh, but you can, like, I'll have to think about some, because trust me, to go up the first time, once you do it once, you'd be like, all right, I could probably do that again. Now, I'll be honest, Craig, I was heavily rooting for Tampa Bay, because I did not want to watch a team that can't even get shots on goal play any more games. Like, I look in that series, the New York Islanders had over 10 shots in a period four times in 26 periods. In the last two games, they had more than six shots in a period once. I'm just like, hey, I get the defense wins, but you got to be able to do something offensively, and thankfully Tampa Bay moves on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I thought that game six was, I mean, for Tampa Bay was much better. I mean, game five, I mean, whoa. I mean, I have listened to chess matches on the radio that were more exciting than that game five.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was painful to watch. And listen, I think that, you know, part of that too, you have to give the Tampa Bay Lightning a lot of credit for limiting the New York Islanders, because they really are they're really good defensively too. I mean, they're a strong team in that regard. But Islanders had, I guess you could say, one what I would call significant chance, Brock Nelson in overtime. And when Varlamov is standing on his head, I mean, if it wasn't for Varlamov, that game would have been 5 or 6 to 1 in regulation. I mean, that's how good he was. And they get one chance, and Vasilevskiy shuts the door. I'm not even going to count the power play, because that was one of the worst power plays I've seen in a long time. And, you know, ultimately, the right team won. And I shouldn't say the right team won. The more deserving team won. And that's why Tampa Bay is a top team and, in my view, the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I was looking at their numbers over the last 2 years. Like, they had four bad games against Columbus, and it cost them. But, you know, and the Hedman injury. Because I'm going to tell you, Craig, like, I knew Hedman was good. But watching him every game now and watching him the last few rounds, like, to me, it's clear cut. He's the best defenseman in the league. Like, I like Roman Josi, but I don't really think he's that much. He's that close, really, to Hedman. Hedman's unbelievable in all three zones.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get an argument from me. And, you know, one of the things I talked about was, like, Nick Lidstrom, you know, when he was playing, he only won his first Norris Trophy in his 30s, in his early 30s, and he won seven of them. And, you know, he didn't win the Norris Trophy every year, but there was no question he was the best defenseman in the league. And so, while Roman Josi or John Carlson might be the favorites for the Norris this year, and that happens. You have the Norris Trophy, major awards are handed out for who at that position or in that role had the best season. It doesn't mean you're the best player. I mean, I still believe that Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon are two of the very best players, are the two best players on the planet. And, you know, I know MacKinnon is playing great, and right now he might have a little bit of an edge, just like Gretzky and Lemieux, but, you know, Draisaitl's going to win the Hart. I don't have any. I mean, that's my belief, right? But it doesn't mean he's better than those guys. And Josi might win the Norris or Carlson, but Hedman's the best defenseman. He controls the game everywhere in every single regard. You know, when we talk about Conn Smythe and every, you know, everybody loves to, who are the favorites? Well, and we go to Tampa Bay. Well, it's really clear for me. It starts with Hedman, and then, okay, there's nobody else. And that's not taking anything away from Point or Kucherov or Vasilevskiy. I just think he stands head and shoulders above everybody else on that team.
Yeah, I really had Braden Point. You know, I thought he was unreal. And then now he did miss two games, and funny enough, the two games he missed, they lost. So maybe that helps him. But yeah, Hedman is definitely now probably is the favorite ahead of Point in my eyes. But on the other side, let's say Dallas wins. Does it come down to who plays the best in the series, or do you have like Hudobin or Ben or Heskinen? Who do you have as number one on that team right now?
Well, you know, I mean, Jamie Benn's been terrific here the last half dozen, eight games. He's been terrific. So it has to go in. Obviously, it's going to be somebody from one of these two teams. You know, depending on what Hudobin does, I mean, he ends up with a good record. Very well, he could be the guy. I think Klingberg's been great. I know where Heiskanen fits in there. I don't think it's clear cut in Dallas. I don't. And just quickly back, I'm not trying to take anything away from Braden Point or Kucherov when I say that Hedman, but you made a point at the beginning about Hedman was hurt last year and that really hurt them. And, you know, they didn't win the two games that Braden Point was out, but Hedman does things that nobody else on that team can do in Tampa Bay. I don't think that that's the same in Dallas. I think they've had a little bit more balance with respect to Heiskanen, Klingberg, Hudobin, who's been very good, Jamie Benn, who's been terrific. So it would be one of those four guys right at this point in time.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, we're getting closer to the draft and free agency. And, you know, we've already seen some moves. Eric Staal, maybe in Minnesota. There's Matt Dumba's name is out there. You know, we're hearing Oliver Ekman-Larsson maybe and Kemper out of Arizona. Like, let's start there. You're Armstrong. You come in as a GM and, you know, you don't have a first rounder this year, because your GM traded for Taylor Hall. You don't have a first or a second because your GM and your organization thought they would cheat. And, probably the dumbest thing to do is test all these kids thinking they wouldn't get caught. Like, it's just ridiculous before the combine. And so, and now you're supposedly going to have to cut salary. Like, that's a tough job to take as a GM, Craig. Like, you're kind of going in a no-win situation.
Well, here's what I'll tell you about Bill Armstrong. Bill Armstrong is, as assistant general manager, as director of player personnel, director of scouting for St. Louis, he has a really strong grasp on the players around the league, the prospects, the players playing in the minors, NHL players. And so, you know, it's not like he's got to go into the Arizona organization and try to find out what they have or what they may, I mean, understanding what they may need. I think he already has a full grasp of that, but he also knows what they have. And, you know, they have two goaltenders in there, and Aiden Hill and Ivan Provetsov, who are really, really good. So now, if you're looking at maybe moving a goaltender and Darcy Kemper is a player that teams have interest in, you know, he knows that he's got two young goaltenders in there that are pretty good. And, you know, it might open up opportunity for him. So while from the outside, you might look at it and say, oh, geez, you know, it's a no-win situation. Billy's sharp, and he knows. And, you know, when you've been out there and you've been watching and you've been doing it for a number of years, you also know where all players are progressing or not. Like, you know, it's not a criticism of Bill Zito. Bill Zito comes from a different angle as assistant general manager who was responsible more for the contract negotiations in the minor league team in Columbus. He doesn't have the grasp of the prospects and the players playing at the different levels over time that Bill Armstrong has. So I would suggest that Bill Zito, going into a new organization, has to learn the prospects and has to rely on others to really understand, you know, what moves he could make with a player or players on his roster. Bill Armstrong goes in there, you know, with a really, really complete knowledge.
Yeah, that's fair. It's tough though if you're going to have to shed salary, like, because I don't know what direction you're going to go in if you are going to trade Kemper and Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Like, you're going in a complete rebuild, but that's pretty hard to do when you don't have a first rounder this year or next.
But he might get a first rounder. Like, you know, you look at the goalie market, you look at Murray, Kemper. You know, there's going to be teams interested in them, right? And if you want to consider trading a first round pick, I mean, that's one way for him to get a first round pick back. I mean, that's not his fault. You know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the loss of, you know, and I know you're not blaming it, but there'll be a marketplace there. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I mean, this is a team that, you know, they traded some pretty good young defensemen in Kevin Ball and Pierre-Olivier Joseph. You know, so you can't trade players that are really good, strong NHL players and expect not to have holes. And Billy knows that. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I mean, what were they this year in the league? 23rd, 24th, or whatever? They're not a very good team. I mean, and then you add in all the other things that went on there. I mean, it was a disaster. John Schaefer was a disaster. There's no question about it. And then he cheats, which just complicates. Now, let me tell you this little story. In Sweden, the SHL and the NHL were talking about how they would allow scouts. Five NHL teams got caught going into a game in Sweden, and you know it's created a lot of things. Guess who was one of the teams? Yeah, Arizona. Can you believe how stupid they are?
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, and here the thing about this that kind of has irked me, Craig, is that he gets, you know, he's gone. And the team's got the ones that deal with all the consequences. And, you know, I've heard that other teams want to hire this guy. Like, at some point, there's got to be some consequences to the individual, because where you are a GM of a team, Craig. There is zero chance he didn't know what was going on. He had to know, and I'm guessing he was telling people to do it.
Hey, listen, I know this. You're the manager. You're responsible for everything that goes on, good and bad. And you know what? Like, hey, listen, you know what? Other organizations make decisions on people. I mean, bottom line is, just keep in mind how the press release was worded. He quit. They used the word quit twice. Nobody wants to be called a quitter. And if another organization wants to go and hire him, good luck to him. I think his record speaks volumes of abysmal failure.
Yeah, I'm with you. Craig Button from TSN joins us. Now, Craig, do you think at all the shortened season will impact scouts to the point where, like, does this mean there's more movement, maybe trading up or down potentially? Or do you think that, you know, the full 6 months, you know, as a scout, you probably by March 11th have a pretty good feel of the player?
Yeah, I think you do. You should, Jason. And I think one of the big things to keep in mind, too, is that every single team is in the same boat. It's not like, you know, one team had an advantage in being able to watch players. Everybody was in the same boat. Interestingly enough, though, and you know, the Quebec League is going to start on October 2nd. There's been preseason games, right? Games are being played in Europe. The KHL, you know, Yaroslav Askarov just had his first shutout as an 18-year-old with SK St. Petersburg yesterday. You know, so, you know, you're going to have a chance to watch Hendrix Lapierre, Dawson Mercer, Maverick Bourque, Jeremy Poirier, Justin Barron, to just name a few in the Quebec League that very well are first-round picks, right? You know, so there's an opportunity to go and watch those guys play or watch them online or however you want to do it. So there's a different opportunity for teams to watch as well now, and with the benefit of, okay, how have we talked about these guys? You know, what are we looking for, and how have they matured, and how do they look? I mean, you have to be careful that you're not putting too much weight into it, but it does give another opportunity for teams to do that. But I would say that it's a really good opportunity for teams to evaluate their scouting process, because you arrive at this point on March 12th, everything shuts down, and now you don't. So now you go back and go, okay, how much information do we have? How much information, how comfortable are we with our information? I've always said, Jason, every time you go to a game, it's an opportunity to evaluate. Take the opportunity and make the best of it. Because you don't know, a player might get injured. Obviously, the pandemic happens. You don't have those opportunities. So I think that all the teams are in the same boat. I think confidence will be affected in terms of who you're selecting. So, you know, you're going to have teams, you're going to be a little bit bolder, I think, in saying, hey, that's the guy we want, or we'll trade back because we know we can get this player. We'll have some teams that will be hesitant because they're not as confident, they're not as sure. So, like last year, there was one move in the first round. The Arizona Coyotes moved from 14 to 11. And I'm expecting a lot more trades and a lot more movement in the draft this year, not just because of the scouting process that ended on March 12th, also because of the salary cap implications going forward, the flat salary cap. I think free agency, the draft, I think we could be in for some real wild times here.
Oh, well, I just think trades, Craig. I think thoughts of teams are going to want to wheel and deal a little bit, and it should be fascinating to watch. Quickly, Stanley Cup, you mentioned Tampa is your favorite, so what's your prediction for fun? Who are you taking?
I'm taking Tampa Bay. I haven't picked Dallas in any round yet, so I don't think they want me to jump on their bandwagon now, and I'm not going to. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of affinity for the Dallas Stars. I was there for quite a few years and, I don't root against anyone, but I think Tampa Bay has the best team. I think that they have all the elements necessary to win the Stanley Cup. I felt that at the outset. And certainly watching them at this point, they've been challenged in different ways. Dallas is a great story. I think it'll be a competitive series. I think it'll be an exciting series. I think it'll be six games. I think Tampa Bay takes it in six. But I see it a lot, too, like 1999, Jason, when we did win the Cup in Dallas. We had a team that was very good and very talented, but the Buffalo Sabres were a really competitive team that was really hard. Three overtimes in game six to win the cup. I think the Dallas Stars are going to be a real hard out for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are poised to raise the cup this year.
Craig, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay, I won't be climbing anything high, just so you know.
Nice. Well, next Friday, I'll give you a little play-by-play of Sugar as he conquers his fear of heights.
Okay. Wear a GoPro. Let's have a GoPro.
Oh, trust me. We have a GoPro. We're going to have videos. I'll make sure that the TSN people get a video of it.
Okay, good. We want to do that. I'll post that on social media. We'll get a good go on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.